Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, God, Take Away My Fears. God, Take Away My Fears. As I mentioned right now, the nation is at grips with itself, and there is so much fear, and how many more are going to be infected by this virus? How many more will die? Well, I'm here to let you know that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. And one of the things we're going to see in this message this morning is how the time right now that has been given to this nation to stay at home, well, this is a positive thing to a lot of people right now. Let me just say this, because during the course of Jesus's ministry, he always chose to take time out for solitude. Solitude is a good thing. And we're going to see how during the times of ministry, he would get away by himself. What was the purpose? So that he can commune with his Father. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 14, and let's read together verses 22 through 27. And it reads, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him in order to go to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." Verse 25. "Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'Is it a ghost?' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Say that with me. Do not be afraid. One more time. Do not be afraid. Amen. This is what Jesus is saying to the church today. Do not be afraid. Why? Because he's with us. Can I get an amen? Amen. So look at this for a moment. Stress is a killer, but we can't escape it since we're surrounded by distressing situations of all kinds. And right now, the big thing right now is the coronavirus, right? Wait till you hear about when the meteor that's going to hit in 2029. You're going to really be running for the mountains, amen? But the question is, how are we going to handle it? How? So saints of God, many people try to escape their anxious feelings. You know, they're just so stressed out and anxious about everything with medications and drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, or anything that brings a temporary relief. But none of these methods are truly effective. I hope you know that. The ultimate solution only comes from God, and he has freely provided it to everyone of his children. Can I get an amen? And so the word of God admonishes us in Philippians, be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to who? To God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, Jesus also experienced stress. I hope you know that. But he knew exactly how to handle it. Why? Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You got to remember, he was 100% man, but yet he was also 100% God. And so in his flesh, he experienced everything that we could experience here on earth. And once after feeding a multitude of 5,000, Jesus sent his disciples away in a boat, and he went up into a mountain to pray by himself. Look what it says here in Matthew. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He was exhausted. Every soul he prayed for, they were delivered, healed. My goodness, saved. Man, I'm telling you, the power of God that was on him was incredible. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. And notice, he always, when he got away, he wanted to be alone. When's the last time that you were alone, just you and the Lord, praying and worshiping him and having his presence come upon you? In fact, saints, seeking solitude with his father was his customary practice, especially after dramatic situations which occurred on a day-to-day basis with him. After he was dramatically, Paul, who wrote in many epistles, we see the same example in his life, in Paul's life. And he was dramatically saved when he was headed for Arabia to seek solitude with God. The time spent alone in prayer with God was so vital. Look what Paul wrote in Galatians. He wrote it best like this. He said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I may what? Preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." Now look what it goes on to say in verse 17. "Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." He went to get away. Paul learned to get away as well. So, what we need to understand and what we need to learn is to practice solitude. Now, I'm going to ask this question again. When's the last time you got together with God, just you and him? Now, we can gather together like this. We can gather together in groups. That's great. God hears our cry. But there's something unique when you get together with him alone. Why? Because he will show you great and mighty things. So let's look at the practice of solitude. Spending time alone with the Lord, saints of God, sets us free from, number one, it sets us free from stress. This kind of isolation is not the same as loneliness. Solitude is a choice to be alone, to voluntarily separate ourselves from others. But loneliness is a painful inner emptiness that results from feeling disconnected from others. It involves a sense of not belonging and being alone in a universe of uncaring people. The purpose of solitude is to privately commune with God, who is our maker. Amen. Now, how many remember King David? Okay. He had what? A heart after who? God. Okay. But when you look at his life, you would say, wow, this guy was rebellious in many incidences throughout Scripture. One of the most, I would say, grievous things that he committed unto God was when he committed the adultery with Bathsheba. And then he sent Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, to the firing lines, knowing that he would probably die on the field. And that way, he can make it seem like, well, he died, now I can take his wife, who I took illicitly in the beginning. But one of the things that God does, and I love what God will do, if you are a true child of God and you are in a rebellious situation, did you know that he will come to rescue you? He'll come to rescue you from yourself. And so God had to send a prophet to him. And what the prophet did was paint a picture. He said there was a man who had many lambs, and he wanted to throw a feast. And yet the neighboring party next door, or the one that lived next door, had only one little lamb. And so the man who had the authority in that town said, I want that lamb to be sacrificed for the party. Now, he had hundreds to choose from, but he took that one man's little lamb. And so the prophet came and told King David this story. And so King David rose up with indignation. How dare this man take that one little lamb? And so the prophet said, it was you, King David. You took this man's only wife, and you have a whole harem of wives. Now, King David had a choice. He could have had the prophet beheaded or burned at the stake and done away with, because he had the authority to destroy anyone he wanted to destroy. But one thing he did, because he had the heart after God, he fell on his face and cried out to God for mercy. He went into solitude and cried out to God. Let's look what he cried out about right here in Psalms 51. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You see, he was confessing on his face before God. Look what it says in verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Then he goes on, because God then, in his solitude with God, God then shows him his heart and what he is made of. You see, when you're all by yourself with God, he will show you things that no one is going to tell you. Number one, they're either afraid to tell you, or number one, they're going to think it's not their business to tell you, but God will tell you all things. And look what he disclosed, and King David wrote it down, because this is what God was speaking to him in his solitude. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know what? Wisdom. Now, after identifying who he is and the nature that he has, now he cries and responds back to God. Look at verse 7 here. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. And then, this is the famous cry. It's the heart cry to God in verse 10 right up here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Did you catch that? You see, when you come to God, and God cleanses your heart, and God restores you from any kind of sin or iniquity that maybe has engulfed you or trapped you or you're battling with, and all of a sudden you have victory over it, now you can win souls to Christ. Why? Because your heart is cleansed, it's washed, and it's pure before God. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for vessels that will walk with honor, that will walk with purity of heart. that God would use you. How can you tell someone about Jesus if you got porno on your phone? Huh? Or you're still sipping and dipping and doing that and all these other things. How can you be an effective witness? He couldn't even rule his kingdom until he got right with God. And he got right with God in solitude. It was just him and God. Yeah, you can receive counsel and people can lecture you and counsel you. That's great. It has its place. But I'd rather be alone with God, that he would speak to me, that he would show me the error of my ways. And so, saints, sometimes the goal is not to just have Bible study or bring petitions and concerns to him, but to simply be with him. That's when the chokehold of stress is broken and all of our tensions subside. This doesn't mean we'll never experience stress again, no. But solitude teaches us how to deal with it in God's way when it comes. So here's another reasons for solitude. The Lord wants us to be alone with him for several primary reasons. And one of them is this. He wants a relationship with you. How many believe that God wants a relationship with you? That's right. He does. A personal relationship. God created us in his image because he wanted to have a relationship with us for all. Say that with me. All eternity. Not just part-time, full-time. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look what it says in Genesis. Let's go back so that we can look ahead. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Saints, no other creature on earth was given this privilege. In fact, saints, God loved us so much that he was even willing to send his son to die for us in order to break down the barrier which sin created. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus came to die for you? And guess what? He's coming back for us.
Amen.
Can I get amen? He's coming back for us. Amen. Thank you, God. Look what Romans says right up here. Romans 5:7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God. Say that with me. But God.
But God.
One more time. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that something? What a blessing to know that he died for us. In the midst of our sins, he still came and rescued us. So saints, yet despite all this, many Christians don't have time for him. They don't. However, we won't be able to relate to the Lord if our minds are preoccupied and our schedules are just too full. Solitude is the only way this intimate relationship with our Creator becomes a reality. So let me just say this, Facebook friends and those that are here. This corona thing that has forced us to stay at home, there's no excuse now of not having a solitude moment with God. All things work together for good. Amen. What is God saying? God is saying, hey, all right, this is okay. You chose to stay home. Now stay home with me. Can I get amen? Open up that book. Get on the knees. Come on, start praying and bring your petitions and commune with him, and then be silent. Let him speak to you. Because he will speak. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I wish I could just roll off this this pulpit, but I can't. I'm kind of be stationed right here for the saints of God at home.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. And so, yet despite of all this, saints, many Christians don't have time for him. My goodness. So there needs to be what? Preparation. Preparation. You know what? You need to prepare your heart. Say, God, I'm going to spend this time with you right now. So I'm just going to what? Turn off the phones. I'm going to turn off the fax machines. I'm going to turn off everything that could come on. And get before you, God. And let me just say this. You never know if God will choose you to discover the antivirus. Oh, come on. Is anything too hard for God?
Nothing.
Huh? If he can save knuckleheads like us. Come on. Did he save you, my brother? I heard your testimony. Ho! Solitude is also God's way of preparing us for the day ahead. That's why we should begin each morning with time alone with him. Although reading the word and spending time in prayer are very important, the primary purpose, saints of God, of solitude is to experience God's presence. Listen, when the presence of the Lord comes upon me, man, I'm telling you, I'm in another place. Nothing else matters at this, man, it's just me and him, and I feel his presence and his joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants us to be alone with each one of us because that's when he's able to reveal himself in awesome ways so that we can know him intimately and feel the sense of belonging. Hallelujah. And so, when's the last time that you have truly experienced solitude with him? So how do we experience that type of solitude? Number one, by opening God's word to focus on him. You see, if you don't know his attributes, if you don't know his desires, his wants, and his likes, you're not going to know him. You're gonna paint a God in your own mind on who you think he is. And I'm here to not bust your bubble, but he's not a genie in a bottle. Oh, I need him today, so let me. No, it don't work that way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It goes way back in the times of Joshua. Look what it says here. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall what?
Meditate
on it. What? Day and night. Day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good. How many want good success? Do it God's way. But many of us want a Burger King life, having it my way. Yeah, I know God says this. Yeah, I know God said that, but you know, I'm going to do it my way. All right, go ahead. Do it your way. And after a while, after you crashed and burned many times and done face plants, and God has to bring his supernatural spatula to scoop you from the ground because your face plant is so stuck to the ground, he needs to come and scrape you up to hold you up.
You can't get it
once you do a face plant. And so, saints, although solitude is not synonymous with Bible study and prayer, we do need to spend a short time of a period of time reading the word so our thinking will be God-oriented.
Come on. Yeah.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
This is not the time to focus on our needs and prayer requests. He already knows what you need before you even opened your mouth. What he wants that intimacy with you. So that all that comes, man, is, oh, hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, the power of God comes upon you. And, man, you're in your prayer language, man. You're just like having an awesome time. And guess what? The things you thought that was such a big concern, all of a sudden shrunk down to the size of a pimple. Oh, I forgot. Some of you have all kinds of them. No. It'll be so minute that you go, man, I was worried about that. Look what King David wrote. He wrote this. You what? You will show me the path of life in your presence. is the fullness of joy. Listen, you always have to have word to back it up when you want to be with God. Can I get amen? Amen. At your right hand are pleasures for what? Forevermore. Man, God has everything right there when you're on your knees before him. Oh, however you are with him alone. But just get alone with him. And one of the things when you get alone with God, you know what it does? It does this. Eliminating distractions. Listen, some of us have beautiful wives and husbands, children, co-workers, friends, family, but sometimes they can be a distraction. Why? Because you need to be alone with God. You need to make that time. Why? And I'll tell you why. Because when you are faced against spiritual warfare, you can't be distracted. Because this is where you need to call upon the name of the Lord, right? This is where it's just you and him. Now, we've counseled many couples and people, and what I find out is it's not the person. It's the warfare that's taking place. And they don't see that it is a supernatural warfare. So they look at the individual like, it's you. No, there's a true enemy that wants to destroy you, that wants to destroy me. One of the things that the enemy is so cunning is if he can destroy the family, he's got the church. If he can destroy the home, he has the church. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down what? Strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of what? Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, God gave me a revelation on that last part of this scripture. Because, you know, we said, well, I try to be obedient, you know, and just things happen and they come up. The way you're going to have victory is that thing that you're being disobedient in is you crush it. You step on its neck. And once you step on its neck and say, I'm done with that, now you're walking in obedience. Did you catch that? That's what it says right here. And being ready to punish. So those things that rise up in your life, you got to be ready to punish those things. I'm not going to let this come on my phone no more. I'm not going to look at this. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to, you know, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, you know, and just bop that head, you know, when you hear that kind of music. You got to punish that. Why? Because those things will come and haunt you and bite you and try to tear you up and destroy you. The enemy's aim is to destroy you and render you useless for the kingdom of God. So to prevent our minds from drifting, we need to find a quiet place that is free from distractions. The goal is to be still and quiet so that we can give the Lord our full, undivided attention. Can I get amen? Amen. And as we enjoy sweet fellowship with him, all of our worries, our fears, our stress, they start to drain away. And we're strengthened and ready to handle whatever comes our way. Praise God. Praise God. But it's spending time with him. It's being rejuvenated by the Spirit of God that he wants to always give us on a daily basis. So, saints of God, I'm going to ask this question. What are the benefits of solitude? What are the benefits? All right, I'm just going to get alone with God and I done it. Oh, did you get any benefits out of it? Well, there are benefits. There are. Saints, if we practice solitude with God, our lives will be changed in the following ways. Number one, it makes our busy days more fruitful. How many want to be fruitful before the Lord thy God? Huh? He will cause our life to be fruitful when you spend that intimacy with him. He will encourage you. He will empower you. He will speak to you. He will give you the confidence that you need for the day. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If we began each day with the Lord setting our minds and hearts on Him and listening for His voice, He'll guide us and make whatever we do more productive in service to Him. But when you're all bogged up, man, with work and with all these crises at home and everything, and then you come to church, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You might as well just stayed home. Some people, they'll come up in here, and it looks like someone gave them a glass of prune juice. And it's like, where's the joy? You ever had a saladito? No. Look what Paul wrote to the Colossians church. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's what God wants from us, to fulfill the call in our life. Can I get amen?
Amen?
That we would be empowered. We would walk worthy of the call. And another benefit is this. It repairs damages.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, saints of God, in the days that we live in right now, we come to church all banged up. Some people look like they got hit by a Mack truck. Spiritually speaking. Let me clean that up. You see, saints, after a hard day, when we just can't handle anymore, a time of solitude with the Lord refuels us emotionally. Can I get amen? And the troubles and anxieties are released. And we come away liberated and refreshed. Now we can come to the church. Praise the Lord. Saints. Yeah, man. I got my groove on and, you know, filled with joy. Hallelujah. God wants us to experience His joy. I hope you know that.
Yes, sir.
Man, you know, some people look at church like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. When's this preacher going to be done? Man, they're going to eat up all them ribs at Hometown Buffet. Oh, by the way, they closed, so don't worry about that. Take it to go. Come on. Look what the book of Acts says. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of what? Refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see, in order to experience the presence, there has to be repentance first. You got to get right with Him. You got to release those things. If you've sinned, if you said anything, you've offended, man, say, God, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. And then the presence of God. Why? Because you emptied your heart and gave it all to Him. You didn't keep anything in there. You didn't close one door and there, oh, no, I want nobody in that door. You got to give Him everything. Can I get amen? What's another benefit? Number three, it equips us to face the tough days. Oh, look at the days we're living in now. You can't go to a movie. You can't even go to the mall. The malls are closed. All you can go is Ralph's or Costco. But forget about Costco. You get there, and it's a double wrap around the building. And if you're looking for toilet paper, good luck. Don't shake no hands. Oh, yeah. We're facing some tough days right now. I hope you know that. Economy's down. People are not working. People are looking out for relief. And next thing you know, the government's going to run out of money. What are you going to do now? You see, but for us, a child of God, the saints of God, listen, we're not under this government system. Can I get an
amen?
We're under kingdom principles.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And God will supply all of our needs according to his what? Riches and glory. And so time alone with the Lord enables us to face trials, heartaches, and burdens of difficult days with calm, confidence, and assurance of his presence with us. So I'd rather have joy unspeakable than to have thousands of dollars in the bank. You know why? Because that money comes and goes. That'll go right through your hands like the sand in the sea. It comes and goes. But I want his presence all the time. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise in the house. Come on. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And look what else it does. It creates, creates surprising moments. Oh, yes. See, when we meet quietly with the Lord, he may unexpectedly answer our prayers in surprising ways and reveal even more than we ask. I love his surprises. Oh, yeah. They're abundant. That's when you can shout it from the rooftop. Look what the Lord has done for me. Sister Christina, look what the Lord has done for you. A week ago, she came and gave her heart at the healing rooms. Then she got baptized on a Wednesday night, and now that cancer is going into remission. What? Hallelujah! Come on! Jesus! Thank you, God. Is that thing still going on? Praise the Lord, family in Facebook land. This is the first time we got on Facebook Live, amen? So we want to continue to praise the Lord with you all at home. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what are other benefits? It strips us of pride. See, we can walk around like a peacock. No. When you spend time with the Lord, it's an act of humility. Can I get an amen? Amen. The Bible says, is humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then he will lift you up. We come to the throne room of grace humbly, yet boldly, knowing that he hears us. Do you know that God hears you? Huh? Yes. It strips us of our pride. Thank you, God. You see, in God's presence, we begin to recognize his holiness, perfection, and power. And as a result, understand how lowly we are in comparison. Oh, yes. Listen, I don't know how many saints of God I prayed at this altar, you know, and yes, I know afflictions come. Yes, I know things happen. But one of the things, when you spend alone time with God, he will even do this. He'll protect your health. What? You see, stress affects our bodies and damages our health. Last week, we had an awesome message by Pastor Cardell about healing. Praise God. He said, stay off them poke rinds. People love those carnitas. Yeah, they are. Delicious to the mouth and becomes torment in the stomach. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, solitude with the Lord releases our anxiety so we don't have to suffer its harmful effects. Listen, when you're stressed out, nothing else matters in your life. It's just like, woe is me at this moment. But man, when you give it to God, hallelujah, he will bless you. He will remove that thing that has stumbled you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so look what else the benefits of solitude. It makes a difference in relationships. You got a knot with someone? Man, humble yourself to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. Let my heart right be toward that person. There's people that have left the church because they can't find a way to forgive that person. And guess what they do? They take that same junk in the trunk and they go to another church and they still have that same junk in the trunk. And if someone does them and says something wrong to them, they will build upon that grievance and move on to another and never have dealt with that issue from the get-go. Isn't that something? God deals with our heart. With our heart. And so when we're down on our knees with the Lord, what we're doing is we're having that relationship with him, and he's teaching us how to relate with others as well. You see, when we've released our stress to the Lord, our relationship with others improve. You don't look at them no more as it's all about, it was your fault. It was you. No, you had a part in that too. It takes what? Two to tangle. That's why, you know, when I do counseling, you watch out what one says about the other, especially if you hear that first. The other one's not there to defend himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the enemy wants you to take a side.
Yeah.
Be careful. Be careful. Can I get an amen? What's another benefit? It gives peace and joy. How many want peace and joy? I do.
Hooray.
Unless you love to be in the company of misery, don't even bother getting in the presence of God. But some people love to be around misery. It's almost like a contamination. It's almost like a bondage. They can't get free from that. So they always have to be in misery. Are you learning something today? You see, times of solitude with God can calm our hearts. It quiets our spirits, and it enables us to overcome anything we're facing in life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Here's another benefit is this. It gives greater strength from the Lord. I want his strength, not mine.
Yes.
After two strolls around the block, I'm gasping for air. But when God strengthens you, you can go a marathon. Can I get amen? I'd rather have his strength. Why? Because he enables us to handle each day's challenges, and we're challenged every day. Come on, who would have ever thought that our whole nation would be shut down? Just what? A week and a half ago. We're shut down now. Go home. Stay home. You stay home. Can I get a bit? Amen. And listen, if something jump on me, I'm asking God to take it off. Hey, if he's a God that healeth all diseases, then the coronavirus don't have nothing on us.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry, coronavirus. Another benefit is this. It produces greater trust in God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, when we're down on our knee, we're trusting God. God, I'm trusting that I'm going to hear from you, God. And that, Lord, that you're going to fix these intricate problems in my life. Every one of us has a different twist. It's still a problem, but it's a different twist and an angle. And only God knows how to unravel it. Only he does. He will show you exactly what you need to do to unravel that thing. And he will deliver you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We rest in the knowledge that our Heavenly Father will take care of us. And he will. Did you know that God cares for you? Come on, if you don't know it by now, then there's nothing else I can say anymore this day. But he cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. I hope you know this, saints of God. He's madly in love with you. If he wasn't madly in love with us, he would have never came to the cross. He came to the cross because he's in love with us. And he wants us to experience that love. He wants us to grow in that love. He wants us to walk in that love. Why? Because we are the vessels he has called for such a time as this, that we would win someone to him. And we're not going to win them with all this junk in our trunk. He wants us to release all that so that we would be free to express ourselves to others that God is real, God is true, God came to save, God came to heal. And when you testify what God has done for you, then there's hope for them. There's hope for them. Can I get an amen? We're coming in for a close. Another benefit, it develops a deeper relationship with him, a deeper one. In those quiet times, saints, we learn how to be more intimate with him. How many want to be intimate with God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so I close with these profound questions, and then we can all go back home. Where else are we going to go? Can't go to Disneyland no more.
Everything's closed.
Everything's closed, huh? Huh? Hey, but you know what? We still all have each other. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's all that matters. We all have each other. Thank you, God. And so, number one, I need to ask this question. How do you normally handle stress in your life? How? So we've been teaching you is one way is to get before God in solitude. And because this nation is now in solitude, how much more can you be preoccupied at home than in your normal life? No, this is a perfect time to get before God. Can I get amen? Like I said earlier, ask him, man. Say, Lord, put in my mind, Lord, the antivirus for the same. Man, you never know what he'll do. And use you to bless this nation, to bless the world. Always remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, before I became a real estate broker and a professional in that industry, I was just a laborer in the lumber yard flipping lumber. And I used to say to myself, this is before I got saved. I used to watch this old man named Hoyle. He was like 62 years old, and he walked around like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And he would grab these big old timbers, and he would flip them with his hands. He'd had all kinds of pitch. Pitch is the sticky stuff that comes from the wood, and splinters all over his hand. He never wore gloves, and he was just like, in a forklift and bringing a load. And so, you know, I worked for him in the mill, and I used to say to myself, is this what I'm going to be like when I'm his age? And this is before I knew God. So I couldn't go to God and say, hey, God, you know, is there another plan for me? But then I got saved working in the lumber yard. And I'll tell you, within 6 months, God gave me my mind back. He restored everything that the cankerworm stole from me. And all of a sudden, he made divine appointments for me to get my real estate school, my real estate testing, my real estate license. And then 10 years after that, he gave me the mind to go back to school to become a broker. And now I have agents working for me. Amen. But he restored my mind. This is why this is not far-fetched when I'm saying if you get before God, he may show you how to cure this thing that's out there if you spent time with him. Amen. And you ask him, listen, when I got saved, I said, oh, God, is there something better for me?
Right.
And let me just share this. We got time, right? I mean, there ain't no restaurant open right now. Listen, when I got saved, I was living in a two-car garage in Paradise Hills. 303 Del Grove Lane. It went up a hill. It was on a cul-de-sac. And this one just awesome Filipino brother named Victor Gorospe and his wife, Dita, they let me rent out of their home. And it was, I went from a one bedroom, and then they allowed me to move into the garage. It was, they transformed that garage and they renovated the garage. It was a nice little studio, but I was living in a two-car garage. And you know what? I wasn't ashamed. I was just thankful. I was only paying $150 a month. But then, working for Western Lumber for almost 15 years, they finally had a massive layoff, and they laid off all the grandfathers. I was grandfathered in. So they wanted to get rid of the 15 an hour people to bring in the $6 workers. That's how they played it back then. So I'm on my knees. I was laid off, and I knew why I was laid off, not because of my work ethic, it's because they wanted to hire cheaper help. So I'm on my knees in the garage, and I say, Lord, my unemployment is running out, Lord. You said, and then I started quoting scripture back. You said that you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And my eyes were shut, and it was like someone turned on a movie screen behind my eyelids, and all I saw was the face of Victor Gorospe, the owner of that house. And I heard a voice, go talk to him. It was like, where's this voice coming from? It was coming from within. I sprung up from my knees. I went from the garage, there was a door that went into the kitchen. And I walked into the kitchen, and there was Victor. He was cleaning out vegetables. And I just started asking him questions. I said, hey, Vic, I saw that you have an office back here, but I never see you there. What do you do, actually? He goes, oh, Fia, I'm a real estate agent. Really? I go, how long you been a real estate agent? He goes, oh, at least 20 years. I go, can you make a good living? He goes, well, on a good year, I can make $300,000 in a good year. What's a bad year? He goes, oh, a bad year is like $70,000. I go, what? I said, Vic, the most I ever made at Western Lumber, I'm talking 10-hour days and all day Saturday, is close to $30,000. That's it, with all the overtime. I go, is it hard to be an agent? He goes, no, you just have to go to school and study. And then he flipped the script on me. He goes, Fee, do you want to be an agent? I go, oh, Vic, I don't have no money. I go, I may have to give my notice here because I may have to call a family member to take me in because my unemployment is running out. He goes, I didn't ask you all that. Do you want to be an agent? Come on now. I said, I would love to, Vic, but I couldn't even pay you back. He goes, Fee, I didn't ask you that. Do you want to be an agent? I said, yeah, Vic, I would love to be an agent. He goes, meet me here tomorrow morning in the kitchen right here at 7 in the morning. He goes, I'm going to take you to Anthony Schools of Real Estate in Chula Vista. He goes, would you become a licensed agent and you close your first deal? Then think about paying me back. I said, okay, Vic. I gave him a hug. I went into my garage. I closed the door. I got on my knees in solitude. And I was crying out. I said, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. He showed me a whole different way. And I woke up the next morning, and he took me down to Anthony Schools of Real Estate. And I was, you know, laid off. So it took me 3 weeks to prepare for that state exam. And when I took that state exam, man, I passed it with flying colors. Hallelujah. And I have not looked back since. I never had to pick up another piece of lumber. I never had to go labor with my back and my feet and my hands. Hallelujah. God gave me my mind back to study and to learn and to work with professional people in this industry. And I would have never have known that God had a plan like that for me. I'm here to let you know that he has a mighty plan for you. Can I get an amen? Don't count God out. Even in the time that we're living in right now, God will show you great and mighty things to come. Hallelujah. The world right now is running and hiding and boo, and God is saying, do you trust me?
Amen.
I will see you through.
Amen.
I will provide for you.
Amen.
I will supply all of your needs according to what? His riches and glory.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And let me end this wonderful story about Victor. Wonderful man. And he would have that joking spirit. He always cut these jokes, man, that made us laugh. Just laugh, you know, because he had that Filipino accent, the whole works. And me and Sister Yolanda had gotten married, and we had our own home. And I get a call from Dita, his wife. And we were halfway to L.A. already. We were headed to L.A. And Dita says, Fiend, can you come pray for Victor? He's in the hospital. He's having his second bypass. Man, I yoo-eyed it. Came back, went into the hospital room. And now I can see there was fear in his eyes. He was not joking anymore. And so I sat there with him. Yolanda was there. Dita was there. And I said, Vic, God's calling you home now. God gave me that word. God's calling you home now. You need to receive him now as Lord and Savior. So I led him to Christ. And he was tearing up because he always thought my Christianity was fun and games to him. But he received the Lord Jesus that evening. And so he went into surgery at 4 in the morning. He went on to be with Jesus at 4. He died on that table. But God rescued him before he checked out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right. God made sure, because I used to always pray for him. In my solitude, in my closet, I would pray for him and Dita that God used them for me. And they've always been a place in my heart for me. And God saved him. Before his heart gave up on the surgery table. And so I'm here to let you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And so maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus. And those who are logged in, maybe for the first time on Facebook, I don't know how many friends I have on there, several hundred, and maybe you're logged in for the first time, and maybe you say, hey, I want to listen to you. I will see your audio postings, but I never actually saw you. Well, here I am. Hello. But I believe God is speaking to you right now, and if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, here's your opportunity to give your heart to the Lord. Cry out to him. And it's a simple prayer. The prayer don't save you, but it's your faith in Jesus Christ that will save you. And so we here want to pray with you at home right now. And so let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me. of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.